Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text number 46. O descendant of Bhrigu, Sonaka, after performing funeral rituals for the dead body of Bhismadeva, Maharaj Yudhisthira was momentarily overtaken with grief. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhismadeva was not only a great family head of Maharaj Yudhisthira, but he was also a great philosopher and friend to him, his brothers, and his mother. Since Maharaj Pandu, the father of the five brothers, headed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, had died, Bhismadeva was the most affectionate grandfather of the Pandavas and caretaker of the widow daughter-in-law Kunti Devi. Although Maharaj Dhritarashtra, the elder uncle of Maharaj Yudhisthira, was there to look after them, his affection was more on the side of his 100 sons, headed by Duryodhana. Ultimately, a colossal clique was fabricated to deprive the five fatherless brothers of the rightful claim of the kingdom of Hastinapura. There was great intrigue common in imperial palaces, and the five brothers were exiled to the wilderness. But Bhismadeva was always a sincerely sympathetic, well-wisher, grandfather, friend, and philosopher to Maharaj Yudhisthira, even up to the last moment of his life. He died very happily by seeing Maharaj Yudhisthira to the throne. Otherwise, he would have long ago quitted his material body instead of suffering agony over undue sufferings of the Pandavas. He was simply waiting for the opportune moment because he was sure and certain that the sons of Pandu would come out victorious in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, as his lordship Sri Krishna was their protector. As a devotee of the Lord, he knew that the Lord's devotees cannot be vanquished at any time. Maharaj Yudhisthira was quite aware of all these good wishes of Bhismadeva, and therefore he must have been feeling the great separation. He was sorry for the separation of a great soul and not for the material body which Bhismadeva relinquished. The funeral ceremony was a necessary duty, although Bhismadeva was a liberated soul. Since Bhismadeva was without issue, the eldest grandson, namely Maharaj Yudhisthira, was the rightful person to perform this ceremony. It was a great boon to Bhismadeva that an equally great son of the family undertook the last royal rites of a great man. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we see how Bhismadeva, in one sense, was not conflicted by the fact that he was apparently supporting Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, because he knew what the truth was about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the fact that the Lord was the protector and well-wisher of the Pandavas. So therefore, with the Lord being the well-wisher and protector of the Pandavas, there was no question of the Pandavas failing. But for some purpose that Krishna had, he put the Pandavas in a very difficult situation for at least 13 years. But Bhismadeva was certain that they would come out victorious, because virtue always triumphs over vice. This is one of the main themes of the Mahabharata. So it says, he was simply waiting for an opportune moment because he was sure and certain that the sons of Pandu would come out victorious in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, as his lordship, Sri Krishna, was their protector. As a devotee of the Lord, he knew that the Lord's devotee cannot be vanquished at any time. Maharaj Yudhisthira was quite aware of all these good wishes of Bhismadeva, and therefore he must have been feeling the great separation. So this whole point about being sure that as devotees of the Lord, the Lord's devotee cannot be vanquished. Well, Krishna says there that Shipam Bhavati Dharmatma Satsvachantim Nigachati Konteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranasyati. So in the ninth chapter, this verse is spoken by Krishna, and he tells Arjuna, you declare it boldly, Arjuna, that my devotee never perishes. Prabhupada writes, this should not be misunderstood. In the seventh chapter, the Lord says that one who is engaged in mischievous activities cannot become a devotee of the Lord. One who is not a devotee of the Lord has no good qualifications whatsoever. The question remains then, how can a person engaged in abominable activities, either by accident or by intention, be a pure devotee? This question may justly be raised. The miscreants, as stated in the seventh chapter, who never come to the devotional service of the Lord, have no good qualifications, as is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Generally, a devotee who is engaged in the nine kinds of devotional activities is engaged in a process of cleansing all material contamination from the heart. He puts the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, and all sinful contaminations are naturally washed away. Continuous thinking of the Supreme Lord makes him pure by nature. According to the Vedas, there is a certain regulation that if one falls down from his exalted position, he has to undergo certain ritualistic processes to purify himself. But here, there is no such condition, because the purifying process is already there in the heart of the devotee, due to his remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be continued without stoppage. This will protect a devotee from all accidental fall downs. He will thus remain perpetually free from all material contamination. So, this is the point that Maharaj Yudhisthira and the Pandavas were always thinking about Krishna. Therefore, they were always under the protection of the Lord. It's when we don't think about Krishna that we become vulnerable to Maya's attack, because right behind Krishna is Maya. This is what Vyasadeva saw in the seventh chapter, when Vyasadeva sees Krishna, right behind him he sees Maya. So therefore, either we're in Krishna consciousness or we are in Maya. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. So a person who's always thinking about Krishna will therefore be under his protection. And when we forget Krishna and start pursuing some material goal, we're outside of that, let's say, circle of protection, and we come under the influence of Maya immediately. This is what is a little frightening about the influence of Maya, how powerful she is. But she's been invested with all that potency by Krishna himself. So, as powerful as she is, she becomes, impotent when the devotee is thinking of Krishna. Therefore, we should, at all times, tasmat sarvesu, tasma sarvesu kali sumam anusmara yudhyacha mayapita manobudir mamivesya samsaya. So Krishna says, it's not the seventh chapter. 7:7? Yeah, it's 5 verse. Let's just see. Mm-hmm. That's number four. Yeah. Yeah, Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranhite Male Apasyat Purusham Puranam Mayam Chatad Apasrayam. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it, by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead, along with his external energy, which was under his control. So, when we fix our mind, perfectly engaging it, by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism, then we see Krishna, and also accompanied by his external energy. So that is a fact, that Maya is following the Lord. This is also explained in Brahma Samhita. Shasti stati payasa sadhava saktireka chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharti durga. So chayeva yasya means she is the shadow of the Lord. So therefore, there's either Krishna or Maya. There's no, like, in-between. And therefore, the devotees are always engaged in thinking of Krishna through practical devotional service. Because you have to meditate on Krishna if you're going to do your service. And if the devotee is always engaged, in fact, Prabhupada said that a good manager of the temple arranges things so that there isn't enough space even for a pin to get into the schedule of a devotee, because the devotee is constantly engaged. Because you give a little bit of space to Maya, she comes in, and immediately one becomes distracted. So, Prabhupada says, one can perfectly realize the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, only by the process of devotional service. And one can enter into the kingdom of God by such perfect knowledge. Imperfect realization of the Absolute by the partial approach of the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma does not permit anyone to enter into the kingdom of God. Sri Narada advised Srila Vyasadeva to become absorbed in transcendental meditation on the personality of Godhead and his activities. Srila Vyasadeva did not take notice of the effulgence of Brahman, because that is not absolute vision. The absolute vision is the personality of Godhead, as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Vasudeva Samarmati. In the Upanishads also is confirmed that Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, is covered by the golden, glowing Hiranmayana Patrina veil of impersonal Brahman. And when that curtain is removed by the mercy of the Lord, the real face of the absolute is seen. The Absolute is mentioned here as the Purusha, or person. The Absolute Personality of Godhead is mentioned in so many Vedic literatures, and in the Bhagavad Gita, the Purusha is confirmed as the eternal and original person. The Absolute Personality of Godhead is the perfect person. The Supreme Person has manifold energies, out of which the internal, external, and marginal energies are specifically important. So, okay, so all this is pointing to the fact that we need to come to the conclusion, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti, Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha, that Krishna is everything for us, and we have nothing to desire outside of Krishna, and we keep our mind always focused on Krishna, then we are under the full protection of the Lord. So the Pandavas were in this terrible war. Before that, they were terribly harassed. They were always in difficult situations. And this was mercy of the Lord, because they always depended on the Lord. Just like we also, when we're in a very difficult situation, we depend on the Lord. So why Kunti said, okay, look, everything's over now, and you're leaving. So bring back all the trouble again so you don't leave. So, and just like there's a saying, I think, in Hindi that, while crossing the river, one was praying to Bhagavan, but when they reached the other side, they forgot Bhagavan. So, this is our problem. When things seem to be TK, we forget about Bhagavan. But the devotee is always aware of its dependence on the Lord. So Narada advised Sri Vyasadeva to become absorbed in transcendental meditation on the personality of Godhead and his activities. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam is. It's absorption, absolute absorption in the transcendental meditation on the personality of Godhead and his pastimes or activities. Okay, so we'll stop right there. Are there any questions? Okay, no questions, no answers. Hari Bol. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.